From NPR News in Washington, I'm Craig Windham. Russian officials say they considered the bomb blast that caused a passenger train to derail between Moscow and St. Petersburg yesterday a terrorist attack. The homemade device severed the tracks and left a 5-foot-deep crater. A number of rail cars jumped the tracks, killing at least 26 people and injuring scores of others. A second, less powerful explosion occurred today at the site of the crash as rescue workers were searching through the wreckage. No one was hurt by that blast. Preliminary retail numbers for Black Friday are out, and they show that Americans spent only slightly more on average than they did last year on the traditional start of the holiday shopping season. NPR's Claudine Ebade reports.
The numbers compiled by research firm ShopperTrack show just a 0.5% increase in sales from last year. That's good news if the uptick continues throughout the holiday shopping season. But as ShopperTrack's Bill Martin warns, Black Friday isn't always the best indicator of the shopping trend ahead.
Last year we had a 3% increase in 2008 over 2007, but we then saw very lackluster sales in December and, in fact, ended up being the worst Christmas season in 40 years.
Martin predicts about a 1.6% gain for stores this year. Online shopping, meanwhile, looks strong. Marketing group Core Metrics found the average online shopper spent 35% more than last year. And with Cyber Monday still ahead, the internet could prove to be retailers' saving grace this year. Claudine Ebade, NPR News, Washington.
France has stepped up its warnings to Iran, saying the Iranian regime will face tougher sanctions if it does not comply with international demands concerning the country's disputed nuclear program. Frank Browning has more from Paris.
The French Foreign Ministry said it would move next month to levy tighter trade and financial restrictions on Iran if Iran does not keep its commitments on a deal struck by the United Nations International Atomic Energy Agency, or IAEA. The deal, to which Iran at the time gave preliminary assent, would ship low-grade uranium out of Iran for processing, first in Russia and then in France, before having it returned as fuel rods for electricity generators. Iran continues to insist on refining the details, including Western support for a nuclear research facility inside Iran. France also cited its disappointment in Iran for having failed to reveal a secret nuclear project, and it reiterated the IAEA's demand that the site cease operations. For NPR News, I'm Frank Browning in Paris.
Police in Switzerland had to fire rubber bullets and tear gas into a crowd of demonstrators to disperse them today after the protesters gathered to protest the upcoming meeting of the World Trade Organization. More than a dozen people were arrested after some of the demonstrators smashed store windows and set cars ablaze. The trade meeting begins on Monday in Geneva. This is NPR News from Washington. New England's last active-duty military base effectively ceased operations today. From Maine Public Broadcasting Network, Tom Porter has the story.
It was the end of an era at Brunswick Naval Air Station as two P-3 Orion aircraft of the VP-26 squadron lifted off on a blustery afternoon in mid-coast Maine. The Orions, once used to track Soviet subs in the Atlantic, were the last operational aircraft at the Naval Air Station, which has been used continuously as a maritime patrol base for 58 years. After leaving the base, the aircraft headed off on a six-month deployment in Central America. After that, they fly to their new home at Florida's Jacksonville Naval Air Station. The decision to shutter the base was made in the final round of closings by the Base Closure and Realignment Commission in 2005. Once home to 4,000 sailors, Brunswick now has a skeleton crew of just a few hundred personnel until it closes for good in May 2011. For NPR News, I'm Tom Porter in Brunswick, Maine.
A spokesman for golfer Tiger Woods told the Florida Highway Patrol that Woods and his wife were not available to talk to state troopers today. The call was put through to two troopers who were on their way to Woods' house at the time. Investigators want to know what caused Woods to crash his SUV into a fire hydrant and a tree after pulling out of his driveway early Friday morning. Police say Woods was semi-conscious and was lying in the street when they arrived at the scene. His wife says she smashed out the back window of the SUV to get him out of the vehicle. Woods was treated at an area hospital and released in good condition. I'm Craig Windham, NPR News, in Washington.